Here I do bring greetings to the school from the Main Street Church of Christ in Hurricane. We're very proud to support this school. I know Brother Emmanuel is very faithful. I know he came from a very faithful school. Young men, I admire you for your studies in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Doing this lesson, I thought a lot about the time that I was in school. From the time that I have left school, I have heard since I have left school, the world's going to come. Everything is. Look how men are rejecting Jesus on every turn. But then you look at a story such as Mark, the 4th chapter, beginning with verses 1 through verse 20. We find here that Jesus Christ is talking about the parable of the sower. He's trying to tell us that there are different people and different thoughts within the world. He's trying to tell us that there are people that are going to accept Him and people that are not going to accept Him. The end of the world is not coming because someone is rejecting Jesus Christ, because they rejected Him eyeball to eyeball at this time. He is trying to tell us there are different people that we're going to have to learn to work with. And as Brother Emmanuel said earlier, if someone likes black shoes and I don't, doesn't mean black shoes are wrong. What's your way may not be my way, but listen, the only way that we can teach is the gospel. Now, we may go out door to door. I may be able to do it in another way with pamphlets or whatever it might be. But the way has to be the gospel. And so states the book of Mark. So states the words of Jesus Christ. As He stood by that seaside, and as the multitude, of course, He always gathered the multitudes. They wanted to hear what He had to say, and they also wanted to see if there were going to be any miracles performed. So the crowd became so great that they began to push. He had to get out into the boat, turn around, and began to speak to these people. And He began to speak to these people in parables. He was trying to tell them a story that they could relate to, that was easy for them to understand. And that's exactly what a parable is. A parable is just a short, fictitious story that gives a moral truth or a moral attitude. It tells us what we need to know. But it also can hide the truth from those that want to do it harm because they don't understand what He is talking about. So simply stated here, we find that Jesus Christ is telling them and telling us there went out a sower to sow. And that's exactly what we need to do today. No matter how that we do this, no matter whether we do it by tract, no matter whether we do it by film strip, no matter whether we just simply take our Bible, knock on someone's door of God. And during all these things that are going on in our world today, you can hear everybody and everybody wants to talk about the book of Revelation, and they want to tell you now is the battle of Armageddon and now is the end of the world is coming. Sat at work the other day listening to a young man, a very young man, telling all of these men, well, now is the end of time. The book of Revelation is now being fulfilled. Jesus Christ will be raptured back, and the church will be raptured into heaven, and we'll live. And I said, where in the world do you get that from? Well, they're all rejecting Jesus. I said, there's nothing new. They did that on the earth when He walked the earth. He walked into Jerusalem, and what did they do? They praised Him because they thought He was coming in to set up a government and do away with the Roman government. 3 days later, they were willing to stand there and holler, crucify Him, crucify Him. 3 days it took them to change their mind from praising Him as a King of kings to now we want to crucify this man. I said, what makes any difference today than what men are doing today? They put Jesus Christ to death. There's nothing worse than you can do. So therefore, this doesn't mean that the end of time is coming. And the best thing that we could do is live faithful. That we don't concern about Jesus Christ coming? I said, no, because I'm a Christian. If He decides to come today, He comes today. And that's the great thing about the Bible, is telling us if we prepared ourselves, we don't have to concern ourselves. So now he says that a sower went out. And what did he go out to do? He went out to sow the seed. He went out to tell people about the Word of God. In Matthew, the 28th chapter and verse 19, he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Now, what did he tell us to do? That commandment is written to everybody here today. He is telling us to go out and teach. Go out and preach. And everybody likes to use the word preach. Use the word preach, you're going to teach. I hope that if you stand in the pulpit and you preach, you are going to teach someone the truths of God. So therefore, we find that now he's made this statement, and we need to ask ourselves, as he tells us to go into all the world and teach all nations, what are we going to teach them? How are we going to teach them? What are we going to teach them with? Well, we know the seed here is representing the truth. We know the seed that he is talking about here represents the gospel, and we know when it comes to this. In John, the 8th chapter and verse 32, the Bible says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, what can make me free of sin today? The Bible says that I can know the truth, and the truth shall set me free. It'll make me free. How will it make me free? If I follow that word, that truth. In John 17 and verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So he's very specific. When Jesus Christ is teaching us, he is very specific in what he is trying to tell us that we need to follow. So I don't have a choice. The Bible tells me that I'm sanctified, that I shall be saved through obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in John 17, he says, "I'm sanctified," or "sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So he's very specific what it is. His word is truth. So if I'm seeking the truth, what do I need to be looking for? I need to be looking for the Word of God and nothing else but the Word of God. So that's what Jesus Christ is trying to say at this time. That's what he's trying to relate to these people. He is trying to tell, look at the seed. Look at what's happening. Let me tell you, if I take an apple seed and I go plant it in the ground and I take care of that and I put it in a good soil, what am I going to get? Am I going to just guess? In a few years, we might get oranges from that tree. I'm not going to get oranges. I'm going to get apples because it was an apple seed. If I plant corn, I can't look for wheat. And God Almighty made that statement, if we can go back into the book of Genesis, the first chapter and verse 11. And he said, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herbs yielding seed, and the fruit trees yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so." You know why it was so? God said so. God said, "I intended for an apple seed to produce apples." Don't have to wait for 5 or 6 years or 10 years to kind of guess what I'm going to get. If I plant a corn, I am not going to get wheat. So therefore, we find that Jesus Christ is trying to tell us within this parable what we need to preach. What we need to take out, he's telling us the seed is his truth. The seed is the Word of God. And we need to take that seed in the world. Now, there are going to be people that accept it, and there are going to be people that's going to reject it. And many times we tie ourselves up on those that are not willing to accept it. We become discouraged. You know, I can remember the first time I went on a campaign. I was at Midwest City, Oklahoma, and we went to Chicago. And I can remember the very first door that I knocked on, and I hadn't been a Christian probably 3 months. And I knocked on the door. Please, God, don't let them be home. I was scared to death. And I sat there and I said, "Oh, please, Lord." When I seen that doorknob turn, I got deathly sick. I didn't know what to do. I just knew they wasn't going to be at home and I was going to be saved. But do you know, after talking to that person, and I didn't know a lot about the Bible, I didn't know how to tell someone how to become a Christian, because the elders at Eastside really felt like that to be a Christian, you ought to know how to tell someone to become one. If you did, surely you can repeat it. within your life. And I agree with that. And it was very easy. The next door became even easier. And the next person, well, some people just simply couldn't do that. And there were some people that were coming down to the building for Bible classes, and they could sit there and they could study with people. Jesus Christ is just telling us, look, let's not get hung up on the way we're going to take it. Let's take it. If you take it by plane, if you take it by train, take it. And that's basically what he's trying to say. And he's trying to tell you and I that there are different types of people out there that we're going to have to deal with, and we're going to have to learn to deal with them. Now, in the limited commission, did not Jesus Christ, did he not tell them that if they don't hear you, shake the dust off your feet and go on? If someone doesn't want to hear the gospel, we can't force it. Let's go to the next door. Someone out there is looking to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They may not know it. You know, I didn't know that I was looking for the gospel of Christ until it was brought to me. I had no idea. I was happy the way that I was. But yet, when I heard the gospel, I accepted the gospel. So Jesus Christ is trying to tell us. In John the 6th chapter, verse 63, he says, they are what? Spirit, and they are life. So you see, when I carry the Word of God, when I pick the Word of God up, I am taking the Spirit and I am taking the life. And he so states that, that that's the power that he has within. And many times, you see, we try to help God out. I am just the messenger. I'm just the one carrying the Word of God. I am planting the seed. Who is going to give the harvest? I don't have the power to give the harvest. I am not God. And many times we try to push that and rush that. Can't understand why they didn't obey the gospel after 3 Jewel Miller film strips. I had a class dropped. I had studied with a man for 9 months. 9 months that I'd studied with this man, and he had been in this certain teaching for years and years and years and years, and he believed that it would take him at least 6 months to a year, maybe even 2 years, to repent himself through to even begin to talk about becoming a Christian. I had to go on vacation, and I asked a man, a very faithful man, I said, would you please go teach this class for me? I don't want to miss, and I want to make sure that you're there. Yes, I will. I came back off of vacation, came in, and I said, well, how'd the class go? He said, went fine. I went ahead and told him that we were done. You know, you'd done talked with him 9 months. That as far as I knew, you may not even be back. Oh, I became infuriated. What gives you the right to take my Bible class and make such a statement as that? Well, you've been studying with him 9 months. I said, has God put a limit upon that? Does God say that if you don't obey the gospel after 3 Jewel Miller film strips, get up and leave? Well, the man studied. I went back and apologized, sat down. He was very nice. He became a Christian. He died a Christian. And he wouldn't have with an attitude of just 3 Jewel Miller film strips. So you see, we're not gods. We work for him. Let him do his work. Let's do ours. He said, simply take it out there. We've all heard stories of people listening to the gospel. I used to preach to a congregation in Bakersfield, Missouri, when I was in the school of preaching. I had a man sit on the front row, and I preached there for a year and a half. And that man was more faithful than the members of that congregation, but he was not a Christian. And the reason I made the statement that I've been married to my wife for 35 years, my wife lets me know when I do things that I shouldn't do. I began to preach to this guy. I began to look at him. And I began to get all of my sermons together and ignore everybody out here, and I'm going to get him. He's going to become a Christian whether he likes it or not. It didn't work. It didn't work. And what I did, I just robbed everybody else of listening to God's Word, because I'd become focused. And she told me that. One day we was going home. And she said, "Hon, I'm going to tell you something." She said, "I love you more than anything in the world." And I said, "Oh, what did I do?" She said, "You really need to get off of that." I said, "Am I doing that?" I didn't realize I was doing that. I said, "You just simply need to get up and preach the truth." Come to find out, this man did obey the gospel 7 or 8 months. After I'd left and came back to West Virginia. But he had sat there for years. and years and listened to the gospel was there every time the doors were open, every time they had a gospel meeting, that man was sitting right there and loved it. So how many times do you have to preach a lesson for someone to become a Christian? I don't know. Maybe one, maybe 1,000. I don't know. Colonel Sanders, they said, what was it, 1,001 no's? I believe it was. I don't want you checking. I don't want you checking. 1,001 times. How many of us would have kept going with the gospel? That old man kept going with that chicken, and what happened? It's history, isn't it? We all know about the chicken. So you see, we just simply can't give up. We've got to keep going on. So therefore, you see, we need what? We need soil to work with. And that's what we need to look for, and that's what we need to begin to work for. And we know what the soil means. It means it's the mind of mankind. It's not this ticker that the Bible talks about. It's up here where we can reason. So therefore, we find that the soil is something that we've got to begin to work with. Now, let me tell you something. I was sitting in Oklahoma one day, and I was in my little apartment, and this salesman came in and knocked on the door, and he came in and said, I would like to show you this, and it was a sweeper. And he said, I'd like to sit down and show you this sweeper. And I said, okay, that's fine. I'll listen to your little pitch. And then I was going to get up and turn the TV off. But he just walked over and flick, turned my TV off. Doesn't make me mad. Don't come in my house, turn my TV off. I said, but let me tell you something. I said, you can turn that sweeper on, and you can sit right here, and that sweeper could suck every bit of the carpet I got in my house up. And I wouldn't buy it if you tell me $1. He looked at me so funny and he said, what? I said, you can't be rude. This is my house. I will turn the TV off, not you. So I said, if you don't care, and I wasn't nasty to him, if you don't care, just pack up your little sweeper and go on down the road. I don't even want to hear what you got to say. We need to be careful that we're not rude. This man, let me tell you about this man that I studied with for 9 months. His wife, he bragged on his wife the whole time that we studied about her knowledge of the Bible. He was so proud of his wife. You know, one night she told me that David, or the story about David in the lion's den. Do you know something? I didn't say anything. I didn't say, wait a minute, that's Daniel, not David. I didn't say a word. Because, you see, I didn't want to tear her down in his eyes. And I didn't want to make her mad because I knew it was, I knew David wasn't in that lion's den. And it was me, my wife, and them two. And I looked at my wife, and she knew it was Daniel. So I wasn't about to tear down his wife and his eyes, because I believe we would lose it. So therefore, you see, we've got to be careful when we approach people. We've got to be careful in the way that we approach people. And I got to get going here. I got to get onto the soil. We find the wayside here. We find that Jesus Christ is talking about a place that we know as a path. It's like a path that you walk and you walk and you walk and you just pound that thing down. And I know that I've been planting gardens and I've dropped seeds in the way that you go to the garden where you're going to, you have your soil tilled. And that seed is just absolutely, it's not done anything because it simply can't get down into the ground and work itself. It's too hard. Look at Pharaoh. Pharaoh is a great example of that. God sent Moses there and told Moses what? Told Moses to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Moses come back whining to God and said, look, the people don't even respect me. How can I go to Pharaoh? He said, you go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And then we find miracle after miracle after miracle with the frogs, with the flies, the lice, and all the other stuff, the water, the death. Pharaoh still hardened his heart. He wasn't going to give in. So therefore, we know that there are people out there that are simply, it doesn't matter to them. In verse 15 of Mark, the fourth chapter, he says, the word has been sown, but Satan cometh. He cometh and do what? He says, and taketh it away. Let me tell you, who do you think Satan's after today? He is after you and I. He don't care about these people in the world. He's got them. He's coming after us. He doesn't have us. He wants us. And he's going to do anything in the world that he can do to get us. He'll split us any way that he can. And he's very wise. And we're not very wise because we believe that we can defeat Satan without the Word of God. And we cannot. Let me ask you this. What did Jesus use? It is written again, it is written. He used the Word of God to make him flee. But I can do better. I don't need it. I do need it. I need the Word of God to get rid of Satan. Agrippa, what did the Bible say? Almost thou hast persuaded me. Almost. We got a song that says almost is but what? You're lost. Almost doesn't count. You know, I almost got a ringer when I was pitching horseshoes. Well, how many points did you get? None. Because somebody else was closer. Well, I almost get a ringer every time I pitch horseshoes. It may be that far, but it was almost there. Almost just not going to get it with God. We have got to be right on with it. So here's a man that said, almost thou hast persuaded me in Acts the 26th chapter and verse 28. And then Paul asked this same man a question. He asked him the question, if he believed. Do you believe? And then he turns right around and answers the same or his own question in verse 27. I know thou believest. Paul asked him, do you believe? And then he answered his own question. I know you believe. But here's a man who wasn't willing to do what God asked him to do. Even though he knew the things that Paul was teaching him was true. Because of why? He didn't have the proper soil. He wasn't going to accept the Word of God. And then we look at stony ground. Have you ever tried to plow stony ground? Man, it's a terror. It's a terror. I plowed with a horse and I plowed without one and I plowed with the gas. And I don't care what you do. If you get into stony ground, it's tough. It's tough to work with. The Bible says that there was stony ground. That's soil that's just simply hard. And the roots will not go down. They will not be embedded enough. And then when they pop up, and the sun comes out, what's going to happen? They're going to die because they can't get any moisture. There's nothing there to get. What kind of a person am I? What am I doing? So therefore, you see, am I letting my roots die? Am I doing the things that I need to do? Am I being the type of person? Here is a person that's more concerned about being popular. Here is a person that's more concerned about money. Here is a person that's more concerned about power. This stony ground is that type of person. And look today, popularity today. You know, when I was growing up as a teenager in high school, and there was a lot of pressure. But you know something? Today there is a lot of pressure. Because it's so open. It's so visible. And nothing can be done anymore. I mean, they got free reign. So I've got to do this. Why? Because I've got to be popular. I've got to be popular. I know of a story. A young lady touched me on the shoulder one day. And I've always tried to teach my children to always respect, no matter what. No matter what, you respect human life. And a little girl patted me on the shoulder. My son played football for his little school down the street of Canova in Canova, West Virginia. And he was very good. And he was very popular. And she touched me on the shoulder and she said, I want you to know that your son spoke to me the other day. And I said, well, that's great. She said, no, you don't understand. I'm not a popular person. And I said, well, I would hope he would. And if he doesn't let me know, even though he's 6'2", I'll still wear him out. We've got to make sure that we respect people. And we're real bad about judging. Every one of us are. If he doesn't wear the nice clothes, they're a little bit raggedy, If their hair's not done in the right way, we kind of step back for, and we really shouldn't. Have you ever met someone that doesn't have and is not blessed with maybe the money that we make or whatever the case might be, and find that they're some of the nicest people you'd ever want to meet? So you see, it's not popular. We're not searching for popularity. We're searching for faithfulness. Faithfulness to the Word of God. That's what we want. And that's what we're looking for. So therefore, you see, we need to guard against this, because Satan's working overtime to get you and I. And he's trying every way then in the world that he can. See, you see Demas. And Demas did in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, in verse 10. The Bible says, has forsaken me, and done what? And loved the present world. He's left. Paul said he left me. What for? For the world. The thorny ground that we see within the teaching here. What is he talking about? This is the cares of the world. This is the deceitfulness. This is where we look at our problems and say they're greater than anything else. This is where, and you know, I don't understand, we get mad at someone in the church, and who do we take it out on? We take it out on Jesus Christ. We quit even coming. I'm not going to church. I've sat and talked to people. How come you're not coming to worship anymore? Well, let me tell you this. Let me tell you, and they always put that finger out there. Let me tell you this. Brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so down there, they said this or they said that. I said, oh, you got mad at them, and you're not going to come to church anymore. You're going to take it out on Jesus. Let me ask you a question. If you get mad at your dog, do you go out and kick your cat? Well, if you're mad at someone else, why take it out on the Lord? Well, let me tell you why. I'll tell you why, Brother Minton. I'm going to tell you exactly why. I don't want to be around a bunch of hypocrites. I said, well, you're going to burn in hell with them because you're not worshiping God. Well, where are you going to go if you don't worship God? You're going to make it to heaven. So the best place you can be is in worship service. You can be faithful to the Word of God. But you see, we've got all of this thing working against us. We're looking at all these pressures in our life, and we're saying, you just don't understand. Yeah, I do. Look at Judas. Here is a man that followed Jesus Christ around. Here is a man that watched the miracles that he performed. And Jesus Christ goes into a house, a woman comes out with some ointment and washes his feet and dries it with her hair, and he gets upset because they could have taken that money that ointment cost, which was expensive, and could have gave it to the poor. Do you think Judas really was concerned about the poor? Uh-uh. No, he wasn't. He was greedy. He had more of the cares of the world. He had control of the purse. And you see, sometimes we can become very greedy with the Word of God. I'm going to hold it myself. I'm not going to give it to anybody else. Well, Jesus Christ says we don't have the right to do that. We just simply don't do it. And then we have what's called the good ground. We work it well. We prepare it well. We make sure that everything is done. We break up those clots and we begin to work this and we begin to fertilize it. We begin to do things to make it rich that we can assure that what we're going to do. I remember several years ago I put in a garden, and it's been probably 10 or 15 years ago, and evidently I must have just got the right combination of getting that dirt ready. And my wife wanted some beans. I'm telling you, I told a little fib. After about 30 bushels, I told her, I said, the blight got them. I didn't want to pick any more of them things, and she knew there's a lie about I had to win and pick them. And then some big mouth woman comes to church and says, what are you going to do, let them beans die, rot in the field? Well, guess where I was at? I was out picking the beans. But it was good dirt. It was good soil. When you have that to work with, and let me tell you something, we can take the thorny and we can take these soils and we can begin to cultivate. If you've got a place that's got a lot of rocks in it and thorns in it, you can clear that stuff out. God's not saying that we can't reach these people. He's not saying that. What he's telling you is there's some people out there that just simply don't want to accept the truth and are not going to accept the truth. Pharaoh didn't. He said, let the people go. And what did he do? Changed his mind. Came after him, cost him his life because of it. So you see, there's not everybody's going to be a Christian. Jesus Christ knew that, and he seen that when he was upon this earth teaching the Word of God himself. He knew that they weren't going to accept everything that he said. He knew that. But he said, go for the ones that want to listen. Go out there and get them people. And yes, there are those. Look at Paul. Paul was very enthusiastic, wasn't he, in the wrong way. But he learned to become a sower on the road to Damascus when Jesus Christ asked him, why persecutest thou me? Well, he told him. He didn't know that that's what he was doing. He thought he was doing the right thing. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, the Bible says, if we want to make our soul rich, we need to study. We need to study the Word of God. I told the story in the book about doing a little experiment with tomato plants. 3 big buckets and 1 small bucket, all of it good. Everything done great except the small bucket, even though it was good. Why didn't it grow even with the good? Because I didn't expand upon it. It couldn't expand. I kept it. And how many Christians do you know began to grow and then stop? Like they put a bucket over their head. That's enough knowledge for me. I don't need any more. How much knowledge do we need to get in heaven? Study. Study to show thyself approved. You remember about a young man by the name of Timothy? How did he get his? Through his grandmother and through his mother. That's how he got it. So therefore, you see, we need to look. What can I pass on to my grandchildren? What can I give them? How can I make them better? In 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter and verse 2, he says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He tells us in Matthew, the 7th chapter and verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father. The key word is 2 letters, D-O-E-T-H. And I always like to use the 2 letters because it always gets the attention. Somebody, I go out and they say, D-O-E-T-H. That's not 2 letters. All right, you do remember it, don't you? We got to do the Word of God. We got to do it. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to be that type of person. In John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do I love Jesus Christ? I hope. In Matthew 15 and verse 13, he said, whoever plants with my Father, Heavenly Father, hath not planted, shall be rooted up. And I can remember back in the book of Joshua, in Joshua the 24th chapter, it's a scripture that I dearly love. In verse 15, he says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye now dwell. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Joshua stood before a nation and said, I choose God. Who do we choose today? I hope, and I want to say, the eldership here, God bless you. God bless you in this fine work that you're doing. And I hope God continues to bless this congregation. Hope God continues to bless Emmanuel and all the elders and the deacons with their help, that they can continue this work. It's a great work in trying to get young men prepared. Young men, get ready. Things are not always going to go your way. But always stay faithful, no matter what, and humble to the Word of God. Thank you today.